This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer, a Joy 94.9 podcast. This podcast was made possible with support from the Community Broadcasting Foundation. To support the production of content like this, donate at cbf.com.au.
Nonetheless, the first up in tonight's show, we have an interview that I conducted with Mark Spencer, the National Policy Officer of Christian Schools Australia. Obviously not an organisation that necessarily has a pro-LGBTIQ+ agenda, to speak frankly. I wanted to have a conversation with Mark because his organisation is one of the most powerful within the educational sector, and because they do have a strong voice when it comes to issues of religious freedom and questions like whether religious exemptions should be implemented. You'll hear that it's quite a polite interview where both of us, I think, make concessions that we might not otherwise have made, but hopefully it provides some insight into where Mark and his organisation is coming from.
Well, we've been saying for a long time now, for a number of years, that we don't like the exemptions as they stand. They're not a particularly helpful way of protecting religious freedom, and we'd be happy to see them removed. But what we do need is, before they are removed, a replacement for protection for religious freedom and our ability as Christian schools to employ staff who share our beliefs, to teach our beliefs, and to make sure that we can operate our schools in accordance with those beliefs.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of form do you think those protections need to take? I guess it might be useful to have an understanding of where your concerns are, maybe in terms of ways that your freedom to practice those beliefs could be impinged upon.
Yeah, and look, there are a number of ways. The ones that obviously, in more recent years, have got the most attention is around the areas of sexuality and sexual ethics. That there's long held traditional views within Orthodox Christianity about sexual activity, sexual behaviour, and sexuality, and we'd certainly want the ability to teach and be able to live our lives in accordance with those ethics and values.
Mm-hmm. So just to dig down into the kind of gender and sexuality side of things, partly because that has obviously been the subject of considerable debate recently, I presume there'd be a diversity of views amongst the schools that you represent, wouldn't there, in terms of how these kinds of issues are taught. Is that correct?
There's certainly a diversity of views amongst faith-based schools. Our schools would tend to be characterised commonly as the more conservative end of the spectrum in that regard, and probably have a fairly orthodox, traditional, historic view of sexuality and sexual ethics.
Mm-hmm. And so it's fair to say there's schools where probably things like homosexuality isn't necessarily discussed in sexual education, where issues relating to, say, gender fluidity probably wouldn't be discussed. Is that fair to say?
I'm not sure I'd say that they wouldn't be discussed, but they're certainly would have some challenges in terms of the views, the orthodox views and values and beliefs that we'd hold in some of those areas.
Is there space for LGBTIQ+ students at the kinds of schools that you represent?
There most certainly is space, and there'd be a number of them across our schools. I know some of our schools who at the moment are supporting students who are transitioning. I know I've spoken to a number of school principals where they've had students who indicated in relation to their sexual orientation that they're homosexual or bisexual. Those are certainly issues that do come up. They're part of our contemporary culture, and our schools reflect that contemporary culture. It seems to be that everyone's talking at each other around these issues. I think we need to be probably listening a bit more than talking sometimes.
I just interviewed recently the head of Minus 18. They've done a report where they interviewed a large number of young trans and gender fluid teens, and overwhelmingly they said that they felt like they did not learn enough about in sexual education in terms of trans and gender diverse identities. What do your schools tend to teach in those spaces? And let's say a trans and gender diverse student was at a school, where would your kind of educational institutions tend to send them or refer them on for help?
Well, there's a whole lot of in that question there, and
there is.
You need to also understand that our schools, our member schools, are all individual independent schools. We're not a systemic group like the Catholics or the government school system. So it will, at the end of the day, it will come down to each individual school looking at what they do in their school. But certainly looking at across our schools have a strong history of pastoral care and concern for all their students. So students, whatever issues they're dealing with as they're growing up, and sexuality, sexual identity, sexual orientation are just a few of the multitude of issues that teenagers go through as they're working up. Now, our schools would be caring for them, loving for them, trying to help them to understand certainly what we understand the truth to be in some of those areas, help them to deal with whatever particular challenges they're facing in a particular area, whether it's about body image or about sexuality or their, their gender identity, whether they fit into the traditional stereotypes or not.
And I know that your schools wouldn't teach safe schools, that particular program. Do you, and as you were saying, they're all independent, I don't know whether there are trends you can point to. Do they tend to have an equivalent program, like an anti-bullying program that includes information on sexuality and gender diversity?
You're talking about the Safe Schools Coalition materials, and certainly I don't think any of our schools are part of the Safe Schools Coalition, but they all have extensive anti-bullying programs. In a general sense, bullying, no matter what the basis is not something we'd obviously like to see in any of our schools. Not saying it never happens. I think any school that says there's no bullying doesn't really know what's happening in their school. There's always going to be bullying for one reason or another, but you try to minimise it, deal with it as best you can. We also have, across our schools, I've seen a range of different programs introduced and used by varying schools around sexuality and sexual identity and how that's taught, and sexual development and health and personal development programs that meet all the usual curriculum requirements for their state, but also do it from the perspective of, as faith-based schools, we have certain values and beliefs around those areas we want to ensure are taught and communicated to those students as well.
Like, for example, say regarding homosexuality, does that involve framing up the presentation of it to students in a certain way? Or I guess I'm interested in how it gets kind of talked about, because I imagine the way that, say, someone who's an adult in the LGBTI community who's long out of school might think it would be discussed, it might well be quite different to that. Like, I guess, is homosexuality portrayed as a sin? Is it portrayed as normal?
Our teachers don't live in some separate world. They live in the world. They may have family or friends who are gay, same-sex attracted. There's an understanding and acceptance of much more information, much more acceptance in the general community around some of those areas. It's certainly, homosexual practice is clearly and traditional Orthodox teaching, not something that we'd condone. And, there's no shying away from it. That's the nature of our schools and what we believe. We don't think that's God's best plan for people. But that doesn't mean that, you're condemning people, you talk about your views and you share views in a positive way.
I guess one thing I'm interested in is, so as part of this report, it's called Young and Queer. A very large number of trans and gender diverse students talked about this, and a number of gay students talked about it too, was the way a teacher portrayed trans and gender diverse identity or homosexuality shaping how other students treated them. When teachers portray these kinds of issues, in particular when they focus on particular students, and there were a number of anecdotal cases of that happening, that obviously impacts on the well-being of those students. I guess, what's your response to that finding?
Yeah, I haven't seen that particular report, but and I'm broadly familiar with the studies you're talking about. But you know, my response to that is that you know, those students would be loved and cared for as they have been for decades in our schools and will continue to be. Mm. We've got teachers who are, who are sensitive that this is what they do. They go into teaching to be, you know, caring for young people, to helping young people grow up, work out who they are, what their place is in the world, and you know, prepare them vocationally. Mm. These are, you know, they're in a caring profession. Mm. They do it from the basis of their faith and beliefs, mm. but it's still a caring profession, and that fundamental principle of, you know, loving each other, caring for each other, being pastorally supportive of all people is a fundamental core Christian belief, mm. And that embeds everything they do and how they would present anything in our schools, I'd hope. Mm. Doesn't mean they're always going to get it right, and you know, happy to talk to any individual people in those circumstances and try work with their mm. school to resolve that. Mm. We'll make mistakes, but undoubtedly, the intention is to make sure those relationships and those conversations are handled well and positively for everyone involved.
I feel like we're kind of getting to the nub of the issue in a way around this debate involving religious exemptions and safe schools. Is how do we, you know, that tension between the, I think, legitimate need for religious schools to run their affairs and teach students in a way that's consistent with their doctrines and scripture, with the well-being and safety of students who might be targeted by their peers because those peers feel that hostility to them is legitimated by the teachings that are coming out. Like, how do you balance and reconcile that in your mind?
Frankly, I don't accept that premise. Mm-hmm. I don't accept it that any of the actions of our teachers in our schools are legitimising that sort of behaviour. My conversations with teachers in our schools across Australia is uniformly about their care for all their students. Mm. Now, there is a diversity of students across a range of issues. Culturally, you know, we've got some of them in some of our schools have students from 40, 50, 60 different ethnic cultural backgrounds. Mm. There's that sort of diversity. There's theological diversity across many of our schools as well. Mm. Some from a particularly strong faith background, others from a less strong faith background. So I think there's already the ability in a school context to actually understand not just amongst staff, but also amongst the school students, the nuance and our diversity and accept a range of people in a range of ways. We're not all created out of the one little stamp. Mm-hmm. And I think students are nuanced enough to accept that, and our school communities are strong enough with their anti-bullying policy, strong enough with their teachings and their pastoral care to make sure that those students are supported and protected.
That was Toby Halligan speaking with Mark Spencer. Now, Toby, quite a hard conversation there. Did you get any value out of that interview?
Well, obviously there were areas where Mark, you know, perhaps understandably, because Christian schools want to teach certain things like sexual education and religion in certain kinds of ways. I think it's useful, though, to talk these issues through with people who have quite different perspectives so you can work out where there's shared ground, for example.
Yeah, sure. And do you think for this sort of platform, is it important to engage with these organisations?
Well, I think it has been surprising when over the last kind of few months, like we've been looking into elements of the religious freedom debate, and there are actually divides within large religious organisations that are more complicated than we think. Like, to give you an example, I went to an Anglican school and I was actually going back to that school to be filmed as part of a documentary promoting the school's like 30th birthday or something. And that happened the day before. A bunch of Sydney Anglican schools released a letter saying they wanted the right to fire gay teachers and expel gay students. And I had to kind of talk to people at the school and say, hey, is this something you guys are kind of on board with? Because I'm really not, and I don't know that I want to be associated with the school anymore. And it turned out I had conversations with different staff members who I won't identify because it's a bit sensitive, who were like, no, we don't agree with this kind of stuff. There's complicated debates happening within the Anglican Church. And, for example, UNIC had an interview with Father Rod Bowers, who's an Anglican friar, I believe.
Yeah, that's right. So a couple of weeks back, I interviewed Rod Bowers, and he's a member of the Anglican Church who supports the LGBT side and says that we shouldn't discriminate against LGBT people. And I think having Christian voices in the debate who support the LGBT side is very valuable, because the Australian Christian lobby, the narrative that they're pushing is that they speak for the silent majority. Mm-hmm. And as long as, you know, the majority of Christians give no input on the debate, then that narrative kind of has a little bit of credibility to it.
Yeah.
So the best thing that we can do is, one of the things that we could have that's going to be potentially useful is if Christians who support LGBT do speak up and let their voices be known and say, no, the Australian Christian lobby does not support the majority of Christians, that we actually are in favour of equal rights and treating LGBT people fairly. Mm,
that's absolutely right.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.